What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Browner and Lawhead. I am John Browner. Jason Lawhead is traveling and interneting and doing shows for his actual job. And so he's not here today because, you know, travel restrictions and things of that nature. But you've got me, okay? You got me. I'm John Browner. I'm the first half. He's the second half. But nevertheless, we are co-hosting this thing on the Mightier 1090. Also, you can find the podcast, as always, in the iTunes Podcast Store and the Google Play Store under Kaplan and Crew. We are Browner and Lawhead under there. And you can also go to YouTube if you want to see me ride this thing out for hours solo. And any shows that you've missed, like, share, and comment. Or comment, like, and share. Whatever direction you want to do it. It's good for you. Just holler at us. And if you want to holler at me on Twitter, I'm at Browner Podcast. At Browner's Podcast on Twitter. This weekend never cease to amaze me. I don't know where to start. I just know I have to start because everything is limited upon time. There are so many different things that happened in the NFL on Sunday. There are so many different things that happened in the NBA, by the way, that I will absolutely get to, because anytime there's a brawl where there are people running around, you know I got to have a piece of that. So let's start with that. And you know what? Let's not start with that. Let's start with the NFL. Because there are certain things in the NFL that we have become accustomed to. There are certain things in the NFL that there's not really anything you can do when a team is good. There are certain things in the NFL that you cannot do when you see a team coming on the horizon. Once we knew the Chiefs were good, there was nothing really you could do but try to ride that storm out. And it looks like many people have, because you thought they had come down back down to earth, right? We don't know if the Cowboys are great. We don't know if the Chiefs are great. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. A great man once said, a smart man knows what he doesn't know. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you who's good in the NFL. I'm not. I do know who's bad. I do know who's bad. Jacksonville's bad. Houston's bad. The Texans are bad. And the Lions are bad. Period. After that, if anybody else beats anybody else, that's this year's NFL. That's 2021 in the NFL. It's just the shoulder shrug emoji. What we have seen, what we have been able to see, is guys start to take steps in the right direction. But if I asked you who was the MVP today, could you tell me? No, I don't think you could, because I couldn't give you a particular front runner for MVP. Like, yeah, this week, it seems like Jonathan Taylor, the running back for the Colts, and if a running back is ever going to get it, man, this is the year. But what caught my attention of all the Sunday games, and this is what I was starting to tell you when you guys first tuned in here on the Mighty or 1090 or YouTube or the podcast, wherever you guys are listening. You don't know what you don't know. I didn't know if Justin Herbert was going to choke away the game like Philip Rivers spent his entire career doing in two different uniforms. I have fought against this for a very, very long time. A year and some change. Justin Herbert is a true franchise quarterback. Philip Rivers was never a true franchise quarterback. Just because a guy throws for a lot of yards doesn't make you a franchise quarterback. And I know there will be a lot of people who are now about to blow me up at Browner's Podcast saying that, oh, Rivers had some come from behind wins. Rivers won some clutch games. Did you know that there was a statistic thrown on a screen at the end of the Sunday night game between the Chargers and the Steelers, which I'll also get to the Steelers fans in 1 second, and this whole making the Chargers look bad by selling out their stadium. I'll get to that in a second. What you saw was Justin Herbert not falling for the Chargers being a team that's lost the most games while leading in the fourth quarter. I think it was like since 2010. They've lost the most games after leading in the fourth quarter. And it happened again last night. Now, a lot of it has to do with preparation, because obviously the Chargers were up big in that game, and then all of a sudden the Steelers come rushing back. Because you know what? That's the NFL. You don't know what you don't know. The Steelers got a lot of guys out, so on defense you don't know how they're going to respond, and all of a sudden Casey Hayward starts making plays. Casey Hayward took over the fourth quarter. The past Charger teams that I've ever seen, they lose that game because one guy jumps, they block a punt. Casey Hayward then jumps up, ball hits his helmet, they get an interception, they get a score. That's quick 14 points. Austin Ekeler scored a touchdown. They also ended up adding a field, scoring a touchdown, adding a field goal. So now they're up three. They're up three. And I'm looking at the sidelines, and they show Justin Herbert going up and down the sideline, not screaming, not panicking, not being boisterous, no arms flailing, no Tom Brady meltdown cursing guys out, because, you know, he's a competitor. Just calmly going to guys, we got this, boom, shoulder pad touch, we got this, helmet touch. Don't worry, clap, 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 we got this. And then he comes out, boom, 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 boom. 41-37, because he's got it. 30 for 41, 382 yards, 3 touchdowns. Austin Ekeler also had a fantastic game. Justin Herbert also rushed for 90 yards. So in a game where Justin Herbert pretty much almost produces 500 yards of offense by himself, and you can tell me what you want about people being out and the Steelers having this guy hurt and that guy hurt. You see it, right? You see it. You see the franchise in him. Yes, he's going to have ups and downs because it's his second year. But in a division with the Chiefs, figuring out ways to win. That was Justin Herbert. Give me the ball. I will figure out a way to win this game. And he did it. And I don't want to hear people telling you that, oh, this person blew a coverage. In the Bears-Ravens game, in the last 2 minutes, there were 3 coverages blown, resulting in 2 wide open touchdowns. So coverages get blown, man. Coverages get blown. Guys get injured. Mistakes happen. What do you do after that? I don't want to hear, oh, coverage got blown. Look around the NFL. Coverages are getting blown all the time. That seems to be the only time I see Cooper Kupp running in the end zone because somebody blew a coverage. So miss me with that. The NFL 2021, you got to win the game. You have to win the games. It doesn't matter. It literally is pointless for a person to argue with you and say, oh, this happened and that happened, because it doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you some scores, okay? Before I get to this thing about the stadium, and I'm going to get to the rest of the scores in the second half, but I'm going to tell you some scores in this game. If I told you the Cardinals would win 2 games out of the 3 where Kyler Murray didn't play, did you expect that? A lot of people didn't. Did you expect for the Bengals to toss up the Raiders? No, you didn't. I mean, I think we all expected the 49ers to do what they did. Cam Newton's second week back in Carolina, you expected him to go up and put 21 up, lose the game, but look good, look competitive, look like they're building something. So man, there's a lot of things happening. No one said the Texans would beat the Titans. I would love to see the money line on that. I would love to see who won money betting on that game. Because like I told you, there are only 3 bad teams, and the Texans are one of them. And the Titans have lost to 2 of the 3 bad teams in the league. Buffalo seems to be out of its wits now. You don't know what you don't know, and we don't know anything about this NFL season. So a win is a win, period. There are 4 teams that are 5-5 in the NFC vying for the last 6-7 playoff spot. There are 4 teams, 5-5. There are 5 teams that are 5-5. So that can be had. If you're, I don't think this is going to happen, but if you're the Chicago Bears and you're sitting at 3 wins, you're looking at them with 5 wins thinking, that ain't that big of a hill to climb. We played the Vikings twice. Like, we got games on our schedule against teams that are ahead of us. Again, that's not going to happen, but I'm just pointing at point of reference. This is the craziest NFL season I've seen from a standpoint of knowing who's good and knowing not who's good, because we don't know anything. You don't know what you don't know, but I do know how you can help DraftKings, put some money in your pocket. This Thanksgiving, be thankful for food, family, and free bets. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has a Turkey Day no-brainer you cannot miss. New customers can just spend $1 on Thanksgiving game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. You hear me? If either team scores a point, if the sportsbook isn't available in your state, you can still get on the Thanksgiving NFL action, because that's key, because you know California, they got all these rules for us. Make your first deposit, and you can play for millions of dollars with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you get your deposit, withdrawal, your cash whenever you want it. You win, you get your money, dog. That's basically what this boils down to. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code GREATFRIENDS, because that's how we get paid. Promo code GREATFRIENDS. Bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets. If either team scores a point, think about that. A point. I mean, the Bears might not score a point. The Lions might not score a point. But other teams, I'm sure they'll score points. This promotional code GREATFRIENDS this Thanksgiving at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official better partner of the NFL. You must be 21 years or older. And remember, if you have a gambling problem, please go see or call 1-800-GAMBLER. So yeah, man, listen, I love winning free money. I don't know about you like winning free money. I love winning me some free money. Let me address something too. Let me clean the table on this conversation that's been going around about the Chargers stadium being overran by other fans. That happens in every single market. It's just become a talking point against the Chargers. But the Dallas Cowboys, on opening night, their fans took over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers stadium. You could hear it. You could hear it on the broadcast. They didn't make a play of it and show you the entire audience of how it was 70-30 Cowboy fans. They didn't do that because that's not the narrative. People want to paint that the Chargers have no fans. They don't. That's not a discussion. For people to keep beating on that drum, the Chargers have no fans. Yeah, they don't. And it doesn't matter. Because they keep winning. If you keep winning, you eventually will win over some fans. The Clippers still sell out. Now, I chose to go see the Bulls play the Clippers as opposed to see the Bulls play the Lakers because the Clipper ticket was cheaper. Much like if the Bears played the Chargers or the Rams, because they did on Monday night, I would prefer to go watch them play the Chargers because the ticket will be cheaper. That's simple economics, fool. 101. But look around the NFL. The same thing is happening in Las Vegas. This is a travel destination. If I lived in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and you told me my Packers were playing the Raiders in Las Vegas, I can circle that game when it comes out and plan a vacation around that game. That's the beauty of the NFL. So this idea that people are just taking over SoFi because, you know, the Chargers don't have any fans, which they don't, but that's not the only reason why. Opening night in South Florida, that's good weather for a Cowboy fan to travel to. You pick a game when the Bears played the Raiders in Las Vegas, you didn't even know whose stadium it was. If it wasn't all black, no one could tell you that that wasn't a Chicago Bear home game. So now, are we going to talk crazy about the Raider fan now? No, because the Raider fan is one of the best fan bases in the NFL. They travel well. The narrative that this somehow affects the players, by the way, is really laughable, especially when it comes to the Chargers, because they haven't had a home game since they left San Diego. They will tell you that. So they're used to it. So this idea that, oh, look how little fans they have because, oh, we overran their stadium. Every stadium gets overran. If you've got great weather and a great atmosphere, You are, if you're at Party City, your city will get overran when a team like Chicago, New York, not the Jets, but the Giants, the Giants, the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Bears, the Packers, like they're traditional teams that if they come to your city, you're probably going to get ran over. Not on the field, but in the stands color-wise. So stop this narrative, man. It doesn't affect Justin Herbert. Now, it may help the visiting team because their fans traveled. But take this loss with you, Pittsburgh. Everybody out there waving them terrible towels. All of you are waving them terrible towels. Okay, wave your ass on home with this loss. So keep it. Keep it. Y'all keep up this narrative about how that actually means something to these dudes. Because at this point, if I'm on the Chargers, I mean, this is a business situation. I don't give a damn who out there. Because we just went through a whole year, by the way, of nobody being out there. So dudes that's on the field taking care of their business. So shout out to the Chargers for not letting all that ever get to them at home games. At some point, when you compete, you'll win some fans in a market that you roughly just got to. By the way, here's a crazy thing. The Rams have had their stadium taken over too. Yep, because it happens. It doesn't matter where you go. If Green Bay played Dallas tomorrow, well, on Sunday, let's say Sundays, because Sundays is a good travel day. If they played Green Bay on Sunday, 40%, 30% of that fan base in the stadium would be Packer fans. That's how it works. That's just how it works, man. The NFL represents. The NFL is a great avenue for visiting fans to get tickets because there's 70, 60, 80, 90,000 people in some of these stadiums, man. You got room? You got room? Sell us 40,000 tickets. You got room? I'm so tired of that. I'm so tired of that. It means nothing to these dudes. It means nothing. It might help the visiting team pat their fans on the back for coming out of their pocket and enriching the homeowner so they can fly back home with a loss in their back pocket. Let's take a look at some of these other things that happened in the NFL. Because if there's ever going to be an MVP year, oh, you know what, by the way, let's look at this dirty play. In the Chargers-Steelers game, because I've had it with the Steelers, by the way. The Steelers get a lot of calls. Look at this play. If you're listening, this play happened at the end of the Charger-Steelers game. Casey Hayward, punches Justin Herbert in the lower regions, not the balls, but somewhere in between that and the stomach. If you're on YouTube, somebody encourage people to go to YouTube because that's where the clip will be, but I'll try to talk through the audio. And he dives on him. They try to get him off of him. He then pushes the guy to try to get him off. Herbert rolls over and just takes one right to the gut. The Steelers must know people in the front office, dude, because they get away with this kind of BS all the time, and it's really starting to become very evident that somebody really likes the people in the Steelers front office. Back to what I was saying. If there's ever going to be a running back get the MVP, this year is the year, and I started talking about that briefly when the show started, but Jonathan Taylor, he's running the ball. He's catching the ball. He's playing one of the most well-rounded games you've seen somebody play in a very long time. Another one. Five. He had five touchdowns. Five of them. One, two, three, four, five. He had five touchdowns. So he's been running the ball fantastic. The Colts look to be almost in solid level of playoff contention because I don't think they'll win a division because of the way Titans have played. By the way, the same Titans that lost to the Texans. So as this season continues to boil down, I want to see Jonathan Taylor continue to be successful because I like running backs win the MVP because the position is so forgot about and it's such a thrown away position. And we're so pass happy in the NFL now. It's good to see a guy being able to catch out of the backfield and run the ball because I love it when Christian McCaffrey does it. I loved when Adrian Peterson ran wild, even though oftentimes it was over the Bears. I loved when Ezekiel Elliott was being used properly. Now I really don't know what Mike McCarthy's doing with him after they paid him all that money. But I love to see balanced offenses. I love to see guys like Derrick Henry just absolutely tearing the league up. And I hope we begin to see more of that from guys coming out of college. So the weekend had some crazy games. The Browns are disgusting. And it's Baker Mayfield's fault, period. Don't tell me he's hurt. Everybody's hurt. And by the way, there's another game added on to the end of this year. So if you are hurt, suck it up, Buttercup, because you got a little bit more pounding to take. This idea that, oh, Baker Mayfield is hurt. Alex, a.k.a. Salt Bae, always talks about people making excuses for Justin Fields. Man, there are a lot of excuse makers for Baker Mayfield. I'm just saying, if you know what I'm saying. I got so much more on this show today, man. Brown and Lawhead, obviously Lawhead's not here today, but Browner has far more for the Brown and Lawhead show coming up on the second half of this on the Mighty Air 1090. Be right back. What's up? Welcome to back. Listen to me. Welcome back to the second half of Browner and Lawhead. I'm pressing so many buttons when this thing starts to try to make it sound all the same. Whatever. Browner and Lawhead, I'm John Browner. Jason Lawhead is not with us today. He's traveling. He is a full-time comedian, and he is doing a very successful run right now in Las Vegas. He's got there. And so he hasn't been able to join the show today, but he will be back tomorrow to catch you guys up. And we'll probably tell some road stories tomorrow, because I don't think we give Jason enough credit for all his road work, because I'm pretty sure he's got some great stories. So we'll probably do some story time tomorrow when Jason gets back. But you're listening on the Mightier 1090. If you missed anything from the first half of the show, you can always catch it via podcast form. So go ahead and like and subscribe to that thing. And you can also see us on YouTube under Kaplan and Crew, just like you can see us under Kaplan and Crew in the iTunes store. If you want to see the face, if you want to see some of these videos that I posted, I always encourage people to come over and like it. How often do you see an NBA fight? Like, think about that. When was the last time you saw an NBA guy throw a punch? Like a legit physical punch. Because my answer to that question is never. The guys in the NBA don't want to fight. I can't, with the exception of Rondo, whenever he sees Chris Paul, these guys don't want to fight. Like, Carmelo Anthony threw a punch, famously ran so fast in the opposite direction after throwing the punch. The Morris twins get this label of being tough guys, but wanted no part of the Jokic brothers because they fight MMA. They created a Twitter account just to let them know, hey, bro, we ready whenever y'all ready. Don't mess with Big Jokic. Don't mess with little bro, because that's where the money at. NBA guys do not want to fight. I am prefacing this because I'm about to show you, and you're about to hear, if you're on radio, if you're on YouTube, you're about to see it. You're about to hear an interaction between LeBron James, Isaiah Stewart, and then Isaiah Stewart, and about 14 to 15 guys he ran over. It's 47 seconds, so it's got some legs to it. So give it some time, but hear it out, because there's a secondary video to the end of this. Listen to this ruckus.
Line them up, then Giannis, and then Jason Tatum.
Tonight it's
their number one guy, Jeremy Grant.
Stewart realizes, oh no, you didn't hit him in the face.
And LeBron.
And at this point, Stewart is got blood coming completely down his face, and he just can't control it.
Now this is ridiculous. Yeah, he must have caught an elbow or something, but.
Oh yeah, he's got a lot of blood streaming from the side of the eye. Look, here goes Stewart.
Yeah, I think he's a little upset.
You've got coaches, you got security.
So I'll try to break this down very simply for you. Isaiah Stewart is a guy 6'8", 250 pounds. His ability in the NBA is hustle. So he's a starting center, okay, at 6'8". LeBron James is 6'8". He's the small forward. He's a starting center. He's an undersized starting center at 6'8". There is a free throw in which Isaiah Stewart, again, makes his money hustling, doesn't want to be boxed out. So he fights around the screen. He fights around the DeAndre Jordan box out, And LeBron James is now trying to collapse the box out from the other side. LeBron James punches this guy in the face. It's a dirty play. LeBron James is not a dirty player. LeBron doesn't have a history of players making dirty plays. LeBron James actually has a very stellar record on and off the court. So this isn't LeBron's a bad guy message. Clean players can do a dirty play. That was a dirty play. What LeBron James did to Isaiah Stewart is like if you have a little brother and you're doing something and they just keep nagging you and nagging you and nagging you. Some of you do this to your kids. They just keep nagging you and you just pop them one real quick. Pow! But then you don't realize you're so much bigger than them. And what seems to you like a little swat is a really big swat. And that's basically what this boils down to. LeBron James is in his 18th NBA season. He's playing in a Sunday, 3 o'clock game in Detroit where they're losing in the third quarter. He doesn't want to battle Isaiah Stewart on a free throw in the middle of the third quarter in the middle of November at post-Thanksgiving. He doesn't want to do that. So, hey, young fella, your second year in the league. I know y'all playing the Lakers, but pump your brakes. I'm LeBron. If it comes down to it, hell, you can have this rebound. And I think LeBron just got annoyed by the kid and popped him in the face. And that's okay. That's been far worse things have happened in Detroit. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Bad Boy Pistons. This wasn't that. This is LeBron being annoyed because he's in his 18th year and this guy's in his second year and he's playing too hard on a free throw, by the way, that went in. See, that's it. That's really it. The kid's playing too hard on a free throw that went in. LeBron did, blah, blah, pow, stop it. But when he realized how hard he hit the kid, he went with a, hey, ooh, my bad, dog. You okay? You okay? You okay? My bad. And Stewart, to his right, got up offended because he just got popped in the face. Doesn't matter who popped him, he got popped in the face. And so then he goes up to LeBron with all the chances he needed to throw hands. And I mean every single chance he needed to throw hands. But you know why he didn't? Because he don't want to throw hands. Because that's not how he built. Because that gets me back to my original point. NBA players aren't fighters. They don't want to fight. They don't want to throw hands. LeBron damn sure don't want to throw no hands. So this thing Isaiah Stewart did, running around the court to try to get to LeBron when initially you were chest to chest with him and you did nothing, is an act. It's a lot of hot air. Yes, son, look at your face. Your face is bleeding. You're okay. You got hit. You're okay. You're a big, tough guy. They refer to you as a bulldog. You a dog. You like to go get yours, okay? You like to hunt and cook, all right? You one of those. You all right, big fella. You took a little shot on the face. Now you run off the court. They finally calm you down after, I don't know, 3 minutes of raging bull. They get you off the court, and now all of a sudden, you go sprinting backstage because now you're about to try to make your way around to the other end to get to the Lakers bench. And that's where Carmelo Anthony comes in. Now, I talked about Carmelo Anthony throwing the punch and running famously. Because listen to Carmelo Anthony. It's faint, but this is you. The voice you will hear is Carmelo Anthony talking to the referee.
He's not coming this way. He's not coming this way. So he's not over there.
My favorite part of that entire clip, if you watched it on YouTube, again, I encourage people to go to YouTube and watch it, Captain the Crew. My favorite part about that clip is that Corey Joseph comes over and Carmelo Anthony goes, what are you even doing over here? Because they're now aware that Stewart ran around and he's going to come out on the side where the Lakers are. And Carmelo Anthony's standing there like he ain't coming out. Like he really finna fight somebody. He's holding a basketball. Again, Melo's from West Baltimore. I'm not saying he can't fight, but he don't want to. No man, everybody can fight. Let's make this distinction. You, me, whomever. If you are a able-bodied human, we have this thing called fight or flight. So you will fight. You can fight. You don't want to. These guys get their nails and their toes done. They don't want to fight. They don't want to fight him. They don't want to fight him. He doesn't want to fight. So this was a lot about nothing. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It was great across Twitter. People being able to laugh about what was Isaiah Stewart, basically them guarding LeBron like all hell had broke loose and we must get the king out of here. But at the end of the day, nobody got hurt. Isaiah Stewart got popped. He'll be fine. He'll probably be suspended. LeBron should be suspended for a couple of games because he knowingly hit a guy in the face. He looked right at him and didn't hit him. So he deserves two games. Stewart will probably get two games for the post-knock antics. But this ain't the bad boy Pistons. This ain't 90s to 80s NBA. Let's move along and let's talk about DraftKings because they're trying to put some money in your pocket during a gobble-gobble on Thursday. This Thanksgiving, be thankful for food, family, and free bets. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has a Turkey Day no-brainer you cannot miss. New customers can just spend $1 on Thanksgiving game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. You hear me? If either team scores a point. If the sportsbook isn't available in your state, you can still get on the Thanksgiving NFL action because that's key because, you know, California, they got all these rules for us. Make your first deposit and you can play for millions of dollars with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you get your deposit, withdraw your cash whenever you want it. You win, you get your money, dog. That's basically what this boils down to. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code GREAT. Friends, because that's how we get paid. Pro code great friends. Bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets. If either team scores a point, think about that. A point. I mean, the Bears might not score a point. The Lions might not score a point. But other teams, I'm sure they'll score points. This promotional code great friends this Thanksgiving at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official better partner of the NFL. You must be 21 years or older. And remember, if you have a gambling problem, please go see or call 1-800-GAMBLER. So that is a dollar. It's a dollar, man. You bet a dollar. All they got to do is score. I've been watching a lot of Bears games. I got to honestly tell you, I don't know if they can score. I don't know if the Chicago Bears will get you a field goal. I definitely don't know if the Detroit Lions will get you a field goal. But when two bad teams play, you usually get a good game. So I think this is a good time for you to drop a little gobbles. Drop a couple giblets on DraftKings. Remember, use the promo code GREATFRIENDS. Something happened today that I usually don't like to talk about. But I'm going to spend some time talking about this because I want to get it out of the way. The 2022 Hall of Fame ballot came out. It's official. These people are all on the 2020 ballot. I'm not going to read you all the names. I'm going to read you the ones that matter because this is only a story because the following people are on this list. Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, David Ortiz, Sammy Sosa, Curt Schilling, and Alex Rodriguez. Manny Ramirez is on this list as well. Ryan Howard is on this list as well. I'm naming those specific people. I'm not naming Andrew Jones. I'm not naming Jonathan Papelbon or Jake Peavy. Andy Pettit is also on this list. I'm not naming AJ Pierzynski. You see what I'm doing here. The 2022 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot needs to be the steroid class. They're all there. They're all available to vote. Get this out of the way. This is the last time we should have this conversation about do these guys deserve to be in? Yes, they do. They saved baseball. What happened with the home runs during the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds situation It saved baseball. Baseball was, because a lot of people forget this, man. Baseball was coming off of a strike. It was on its way to being probably lesser than what it is now, which is basically a regional sport that you really only care about if you even root for a team. Like, try being a fan in Anaheim. You think baseball's important there? Like, they don't even sell their games out. And Ohtani's supposed to be the best thing since Babe Ruth, pitching and hitting. They can't even sell the games out where he's pitching and hitting. So we're having this discussion about what baseball is. Baseball's been filled with cheating. It's been ripe with cheating the entire time Major League Baseball has been played. There are scandals as famous as some of the times in which they played in. The Astros scandal will live probably longer than the fact that they actually won the World Series. Not to them, but to the baseball community. It'll never be forgotten. It'll be the Black Sox or the White Sox Black scandal, Shoeless Joe Jackson. Like, they're that. The Astros are that. The Astros are that championship team. It's Pete Rose betting on baseball. That's you now. Baseball has had scandal in it the entire time. Put these dudes in, and you never have to talk about it ever again. Don't asterisk. Don't put no symbols by it. Just let these people in, okay? The 2022 Baseball Hall of Fame inductees should be Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Ryan Howard, David Ortiz, Andy Pettit, Manny Ramirez, Alex Rodriguez, Curt Schilling, and Sammy Sosa. And just call it a day. Put them all in together. So when everyone shows up to celebrate these people's careers, the folks that don't show up, that's how you tolerate. That's how you have your voice heard. Say, I'm not going. I won't show. Baseball Writers of America, don't go. But this is dumb. The fact that you would continue to have this as a talking point around your game, and you're the keeper of the game. The 2022 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot is the steroid era. Open that book, close that book, and put it on the shelf with all those dudes having a chapter in this one specifically. If that's supposed to get in and doesn't get in, all you're going to tell him as a writer is say, we didn't want you lumped in with this. People know. People get it. Nobody's going to be hurt if you put these dudes in the Hall of Fame. You get to celebrate their careers because they had great careers. You cannot tell me Barry Bonds didn't have a great career. You cannot tell me you didn't watch him hit 73 home runs because I did. Everyone at that time were involved in the cheating. Bud Selig knew that there were steroids in baseball. They did nothing to get them out until those dudes were gone. Because they knew. You couldn't punish the face of baseball at that time, which was Barry Bonds. What were you going to suspend Mark McGwire? Doug, Mark McGwire's arms were bigger than my torso. That ain't natural. Like, I mean, Sammy Sosa's white now. So I don't know about him. But the steroids basically made the ball go about maybe 10 to 15 yards further. So instead of it falling short of the wall, it was going over the wall. You had a commercial running at the time called Chicks Dig the Long Ball. Who the hell wants to talk about baseball in November? I don't, but I'd rather do this now than to do it when it comes up, because when it comes up, I'm not going to talk about it. So this is just my simple suggestion to all the people who are butthurt about baseball and steroids. Just put them all in. Call it a day. keep it as a secret and never talk about it again. Because does Barry Bonds need to have Hall of Famer Barry Bonds in front of his name? No. He doesn't. Does Manny Ramirez need Hall of Famer Manny Ramirez? No, he doesn't. Because if he went to Boston, him and David Ortiz, if they went to a bar in Boston, they wouldn't pay for a beer. They are bigger in those places than they will ever be in the Hall of Fame. Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz are already in the Hall of Fame. They're the actual one that counts. Barry Bonds is actually already in the Hall of Fame. He is etched in the history of the San Francisco Giants. And any and every person that's ever rooted for them, they know who Barry Bonds is. So the Hall is really just a way for bloviated people to recognize you because you were nice to them, which they were not nice to them. That's why I'm really interested to see what they do with A-Rod, because A-Rod was really good with the media. He's in the media now. But he admittedly did steroids. I think twice they caught him. So if you let guys in because you like them, then you tainted the process. So you're no different than Pete Rose. If you're a baseball writer of America and you don't put these dudes in because you didn't like, because Barry Bonds wasn't nice to you, you're tainting the Hall of Fame with your BS. You're no different than him. You're no better than him. So put these dudes in. Let's put this to rest. Close the book and let's move on. I'm closing the book on this show. I'll see y'all tomorrow. Hopefully Jason will be back. Brown and Lawhead, peace.